those who lost me, and the body today, and the body in comparison to the body in the first century. Okay? They met in homes and at the temple, found favor with all the people, I mean the Jewish people, at least in the beginning. Yeah. Now the $1 million question. New Testament body, present day body, very different. First of all, you agree with me? All that I showed you in those slides, my sweet beloved people, beloved and sweet people of God, equal in the kingdom. I don't look down to you. I'm here to serve you. All that I showed in my slides, you can check me and recheck and recheck, and you can rebuke me if I'm wrong. All is based on the Bible. If you can prove me wrong on any slide that I showed here, I will humbly repent. I promise, I'm not just saying it as a slogan, okay? Very different. Why? Why are the two bodies of Christ, of Messiah, the first century body and body today, are so different? Do you agree with me they're different? Yes. Hallelujah. So we have a common ground. Why? Why in the world they are here? They are so different. And let me pass to another file with your permission. It will take me just 1 second. If I find it, yeah. Beloved, don't relate to this yet. The Bible, most of the Bible, 99.999999% of the Bible that you hold in your hands today was written, and also all the events which are described were within the framework of a certain region on planet Earth. The Middle East, most of which in a certain location within the Middle East, Israel, the land of Israel. Beloved, the Western culture in comparison to the Middle Eastern culture is like heaven and earth, like black and white. Here I show you some of the differences with the, okay, let me just put it in a way that you can see it, sorry. Beloved, those are just a few examples of how different the cultures are. And soon you will see why the cultures are different. Because of mindset, different mindsets, yeah? I don't want to, because of time, I don't want to hang on too much on those slides. I want to go on. You know, familial individualism. Okay, let's continue. It's the same, no? Okay, this is what I want to go. Beloved, Greek-Roman approach and biblical Hebraic approach to life. This is Greek-Western versus Hebraic-Eastern mindsets, beloved. You see the arrows that I put there? Look at those two stars. You see them? Those are the main things that I want you to remember, okay? For instance, the Greek-Roman approach. Life is analyzed in precise categories, equations, and formulas. Don't read all of it. Let's deal with what, you know, let me lead you, okay? My beloved, does it remind you of few examples, yeah? The church, the biggest split in the church of Christ, not the denomination, the body of Messiah, was in the year 1000 between the Eastern Church and the Western Church. Beloved, do you know what was the main reason that splitted them? An argument which arose concerning the Ruach HaKodesh, Holy Spirit. Who gave the Holy Spirit? Was it the Father or was it the Son? I am dead serious. Read it, Google it. Now, doesn't it sound a little bit absurd to divide on this question? But it comes from the need of the Greekenized mindset to have everything precisely in place, mathematically. While this one is Everything blurs into everything. Emotional, yeah? Cannot be understood in our logic, intellect alone. Alone. This is a very important word. God is not against logic. God is the God who created mathematics. God created whatever logical thing, you know? Physics, chemics. Okay? But guess what? He's not expecting us to try to use our logic to understand him. Because he is the creator of math. He is not God the math. Did you understand it? He is the creator of physics. He is not God the physics. Does it sound? Does it make sense? He is above time zone. He is above all those laws. Otherwise, he is not God. So how in the world can we take this God and try to put him inside this little box? This is the Greek mindset. If I don't understand the Godhead, I cannot be saved. If I cannot understand exactly the relationship between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I lack something. You don't lack anything. Relax, for God's sake. Nobody asked you to define the Godhead. Show me one requirement in the whole entire Bible from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, which says, I am God, and then a physical mathematical, equation. No! I am the God of Israel. I am Yahweh your God. I am the God, the Lord of hosts. Yeah? Never in equation, but always in descriptive manner. Let's continue. Linear time divided into segments while each event is new. And here I'm going to attack or address some Messianic Jews. Ah, like me. Most Messianic Jews misinterpret the fulfillment of the feast, God's feast, which are, by the way, are for another seminar, God's feasts, yeah? How they are actually God's prophetical timetable, the feast. I'm talking not about the non-biblical feasts. I'm talking about the biblical seven feasts, yeah? They are God's prophetic timetable. Are you still following? You're tired? You're okay? Yeah? Beloved, Messianic Jews even make the mistake to put on a line, linear, yeah, the feasts that which were fulfilled in Yeshua's time. And thus they say, Yeshua was the lamb of what? Passover, right? Now, put the seven feasts in a linear Greek mindset on a line now. So what do you do? Check. He fulfilled it, right? Hallelujah. Oops. No need for Passover. They don't say it like this, but you know, check. He was resurrected on the third day. By the way, not in Easter. He was resurrected on the first fruits, the feast of first fruits. Or before this, he was our unleavened bread, right? He was without sin. Check. He was the first fruit which was resurrected. No. Check. He gave us the Holy Spirit on the day of what? Shavuot, Pentecost. Check. Hallelujah. Yeshua needs to come later on too, in his second coming, to fulfill the other three feasts. Well, completely wrong. Yeshua fulfilled all the seven feasts, and he's going to come to fulfill again all the seven feasts. One example. I'm eager to drink this wine, cup of wine, the Lord's Supper, yeah? I will not till it is fulfilled in the kingdom, which means that there is yet another Passover experience. Are you with me? Tabernacles. He came to tabernacle with us. He will come again to tabernacle with us. There is more than one fulfillment. It's cyclical rather than linear. Are you with me? Following? Cyclical or spiraling. I will show you soon what I mean, okay? Don't worry if you don't get it now. Events, etc., etc. This is very important. The beginning and the end are connected, okay? Let me describe it like I do to others in my different teachings. Yeshua said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, right? So let's Greek mindset, we'll say, okay, let's now draw a line. I am the Alpha, Yeshua said, right? And I am the end, right? Makes sense, right? The only problem, it's completely unbiblical. Completely. Do you see this chair? I am the Alpha, and I am also the Omega. Cycle. The beginning and the end are connected. Do you believe that God is eternal God? How an eternal God can have a beginning and the end? When was he born? When will he die? Doesn't make any sense, even in Greek mentality. You see what I mean? What do you put on the finger of your spouse when you are under the chuppah or whatever, in front of the preacher, yeah? When you get married, do you put a square ring, triangle ring? No, a ring is a ring. Why? Because it's a picture of eternity. Eternal covenant. Because none of you beside the maker of this ring knows exactly where he welded together, right? If he's a good jeweler, whatever, yeah? You should not know where is the beginning and the end, right? They are connected. Are you with me? Good. Let's continue. Quickly. Okay, we will. Linear thinking. Does it look familiar? Mathematical equation, you know, I need to understand everything. But cyclical one, the heavens declare your glory. Show me one planet, one star, which is triangle. I'm not joking. Show me, please. Take a telescope. Ask astronomers. Yeah, those who deal with astronomy. Everything is cyclical. Is it a coincidence? What, God does not like triangles? But he wants us to understand a few things. Let's continue. Everything, yeah? Cyclical. Cyclic thinking. Come on, you know this verse, right? That which has been in is what will be. Another one. That which is done is what will be done. What happened here? There is nothing new under the sun. All is taken from Ecclesiastes 1:9. And the beginning and the end are strongly connected. I already spoke about it. Following? Good. Let's continue. Look at this cyclical prophetic clock. By the way, listen carefully. I might be wrong. This is my understanding, okay? God is in the center. You see God is in the center, right? You remember what we just read? He is in all, you know, all was created by, you know, all through him, etc., etc. Also Colossians 1 speaks about it, okay? He is in the center of everything, and he created the next cycle is he created the days. Remember? How many? 7. Look at the number 7, how it is influencing also the feast. You see? 7 feasts, yeah? Look the 7th year. Look the year of Jubilee. The Son of God, the millennial kingdom. He will come to reign. That's why we have 6,000 years of, yeah? And the 1,000 years of peace, Revelation, yeah? And then the 8th day is the new beginning. Back to God, you see? Because new heaven and new earth will be created. Did you notice? It's not on a line. You don't check anything. Everything is repeated. Okay? I promise I will let you ask questions later on. Cycle fulfillment. Shall I speak about it today? Prophecies are being fulfilled more than once. Mainly 3 times, because 3 is very, very important number in God's prophetic numbers, okay? And in a progressive manner. What am I talking about? We are going to speak about it in more details. The prophecy is given, okay? Zechariah 14, okay? Zechariah 14, I know I'm not exact, but just as an example, let's say that Zechariah 14 has 20 different points that needs to be fulfilled, okay? Are you following? The first time they are fulfilled, they are not fulfilled in all of them, all the 20 points. 10 points are fulfilled. The second time, the first 10 are fulfilled and some more are added. Are you with me? Progressive. The last optimal fulfillment, in my humble opinion, the last third, some say more than three times, all of the 20 are fulfilled. Do you see what I mean? Like with Yeshua in Passover. What was fulfilled? He was our Passover lamb. But still the fourth cup, if you know what I'm talking about, needs to be drank at the completion, fulfillment of this feast. Okay? Progressive manner. Let's continue. Examples. Look at this. Beloved, here I made a mistake. I must admit, here I made a mistake, and I wish I would have... Where is Joy? Joy, you are my man. Maybe you can fix this mistake for me. Because, by the way, I'm not computer, you know, freak, so...
And Joey.
I hardly... No, and Joy is. I mean, he fixed a few of the things already. Because this is quite an old file. But I made a mistake, and I will tell you soon what I'm talking about. I don't want to... Everybody sees it? For instance... The old man, everything which happened to our forefathers, this is based on 1 Corinthians 10. Don't you know, I don't want you to be ignorant, Paul says. All that happened to our forefathers, he doesn't speak about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He speaks about the generation under Moses. Yeah, you heard me right. Read 1 Corinthians 10. How do I know? I read it in context. He says, as they were baptized into Moses and into the cloud. He doesn't say baptized into Abraham. Okay? As they crossed the Red Sea, etc., etc. So you can see the old men, you know, pyramids, it's stupid anyway, but Egypt, yeah? The crossing, okay? The Red Sea, you can see the new men, yeah? Egypt is the world, okay? The picture of the world. Baptism is a picture of crossing the Red Sea, okay? Everything is cyclical, everything is repeated, okay? But I made a mistake. Where was the mistake? The wilderness. The wilderness actually needs to include Mount Sinai, okay? The wilderness is from here all the way to the Jordan River, okay? Anyway. Okay. What's the time, beloved? 8 o'clock already? No, but I wanted to leave some time each evening for questions and answers. Okay, beloved, let's... do you have any questions so far? I mean, which relates, of course, not to the current event in the Middle East. This you can ask, by the way, the question answering portion about 20 minutes soon, in about 10 minutes, I'm going to shut my big mouth up, I mean, for a second, at least to let you ask your questions. And then your questions can relate to whatever. Yes, sir. Yes, but I don't want to share them with you now because it will really... There are many views. There are some Messianic Jews who do not take the Lord's Supper but once a year at Passover. Makes very much sense. I take it whenever I can. And I base it also on scriptures. Okay? Can we marry those scriptures? Those scriptures we can actually. But other scriptures we cannot marry. This is one of the questions, okay? I don't think there are question of... regarding to salvation matters, you know, or how close you are to the Lord. Because I anyway think that the Lord never instituted a ritual. This is the church invention. The Lord never meant it to be a ritual. Okay? But those are the two, how do you say in church, in Protestant church, the two elementary things, baptism and Lord's Supper. Who said so? Who said so when you read in the New Testament? I can make any doctrine if I take verses out of context, you know? We do need, don't misunderstand me, we do need to take the Lord's Supper. But only as a reminder of a much, much far deeper truth. You need to be one with Messiah. You need to eat his flesh. You need to drink his blood, John 6. You need to be 7:24, you say, in this reality. Not once a week or once a year in Passover. The ritual speaks about much deeper. You know what I mean? And the church made it a religious, you know, ritual, while most of the church lives like hell, in sin. You cannot be united, eat the body. You know that what you eat, that's what you become. Eat junk food and don't be surprised that you are obese. No, I mean it. I'm not against any one of you. Like, you know, the movie which was made on McDonald's. Eat all your life for 1 month and you will almost die. Eat Yeshua and drink his body and you will become, guess what? Like Yeshua. That's what the Lord's Supper is all about. I'm sorry if I did not answer exactly, but okay. More questions relating what we covered so far. Yes, sir. Yes. Gabush, just a second. Please, thank you. Yes, yes, sir. Or 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7. Yeah, I don't know because it says new heavens and new earth. By the way, there are scholars, and I don't want to get sidetracked again, who say that between verse 1 of the Bible, Genesis 1:1, and Genesis 1:2, millions of years, which include dinosaurs, which include maybe elements which we don't even know. Why don't I deal with it? Intentionally, I don't deal with it. What's God's is God's. I don't understand. I cannot build a whole theory based on the shift, the dramatic shift between verse 1 and verse 2. There is a dramatic shift, yeah? But what I don't know, I don't deal. This is the Hebraic mindset. I leave whatever I don't understand to God. Hallelujah. I mean, praise God for what I understand. Is it 10%? And even with the 10%, I'm struggling. Yes. The what? Oh, for sure. Oh, for sure, because what was is what is. What was, it was what will be. You see, it's repeated. Yeah. So for a time being, there was no worship with harp. Now God restores it. But not on a line. You see what I mean? I could, you know what? Let me give one example to this cyclical, okay? You remember the beginning and the end are connected? Where was the gospel starting? Jerusalem, right? Yes or no? Jerusalem. Where is Yeshua coming to reign? Jerusalem. Are you convinced? Now, did it start and stay? No. It went. This is Jerusalem, yeah? It went like this, yeah? This is Jerusalem. Martin Luther, John Wesley, whatever, yeah, name it. Messianic Judaism, whoop, towards Jerusalem. See what I mean? That's what I mean. Okay, let's continue. The other reason for why, remember how we started, the difference between first century body and our body today? Why, the $1 million question, why it's so different? Different mindsets, yeah? Which directly influence our interpretation of scriptures. Are you with me? So now let's go to the Bible and see what came out of these different mindsets. Okay? But let me find it first. Why? Yes. Why? So, why? Come on. Okay. The next one is scriptures. Wrong interpretation of scriptures. This should be together. Okay. Examples. Are you ready for some examples? Or of how the church missed. But you must understand before this, Friends, I just said that the first century body was completely Jewish, right? I mean, till at least 70, right? Or the majority at least. Friends, this balance shifts 180 degrees already in the second century. The majority becomes Gentiles who were converted to the Jewish faith, while the minority now, the small minority, are Jews. Whom do you think will have more influence on the interpretation of scriptures, on the traditions of the body? Of course, the majority. The Jews were looked down at. You are coming from this nation which killed our God. Antisemitism started to flourish, to bloom in the body. And by the way, don't blame all of it on Constantine, the one who declared that he had revelation of Yeshua, if you know the story, in the 4th century, and thus he declared Christianity to be the state religion. Yeah. He was bad enough, but actually he stamped processes which already started 200 years before him with the church fathers. Already in the church fathers' literature, I mean, the sayings, you can see anti-Semitism. Yep. What Constantine does is he just stamps it, like, yeah, he just, okay, now it's the real cut. Don't keep Sabbath, Sunday is our holy day. Sun, not S-O-N, but S-U-N, the one who understands, yeah? Let's not keep Passover, but Easter. Go and check Google what is the origins of Easter, yeah? Because we don't have anything to do with those Jews, those ugly people, those rebels, those who killed our God. Are you following? So the interpretations of scriptures started to go far, far, far from the real intention of God. Let's see some examples. Old covenant versus new covenant. Oh, we need to fix it, right, Joy? I don't know who separated. No, it's not you, don't worry. Old covenant versus new covenant. Beloved? Okay, let's leave it like this. How many of you call 2/3 of the Bible Old Testament? Don't be shy. Come on. No, it's okay. I'm not attacking you. I'm here to teach. Beloved, just know that the very first century church never had the other third. Because the other third that you call New Testament scriptures were canonized only in the 3rd, 4th, and 5th century after Yeshua. So what in the world did the first church used? The one that you call old. Beloved, wrong interpretation, wrong conception. Friends, the Hebrew speakers do not even call it old, new. They call it Tanakh. Tanakh, which is abbreviation, 3 letters. You say abbreviation? Of 3 words. Torah. Torah is the 5 books of Moses, the teachings. It's not the law. It's the teachings, the instructions of Moses. Nevi'im, prophets, and Ketuvim. Okay? But friends, I want to show you what the wording New Covenant versus Old Covenant are scriptural, but they never spoke about set of books. Okay? What did they speak of? Come on. Okay, the first biblical reference to New Covenant is in Jeremiah. Let's open it. Why not? Jeremiah 31. By the way, it's not only the first, I need to fix it. It's first and last, actually, no. In Hebrews, there is a quotation of this verse in Hebrews, okay? But this is the only reference in the so-called Old Testament to a new covenant. So, verse 31 of Jeremiah 31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. In Hebrew, it's cut. Cutting a new covenant because there is the process of cutting and bloodshedding. Okay? Every covenant involved bloodshedding. Cut between with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Now listen carefully. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I, etc., etc. Look at me. Here we have two covenants, right? New one versus old one. In one verse, two verses in Jeremiah. Do you really think he spoke about, how many books do we have? 50 books, yeah? As the old that he gave them when he led them out of Egypt? No! Versus new set of books that he will give them soon? No! The covenant speaks about Mount Sinai event. Actually, more accurately, about the sacrifice of the Lamb of Passover when he took them, in the day that he took them, versus the sacrifice of the real Lamb of Passover on Golgotha. I call it Mount Golgotha covenant versus Mount Sinai. But Mount Sinai is based on the slaughtering of the Passover Lamb, otherwise they would not come out. Are you with me? It speaks about covenant agreements which involved the shedding of blood. Are you with me? Covenant has nothing to do with scriptures. Scriptures talk about the covenants. They are not the covenant themselves. Are you with me? Okay? When I make now an agreement with this gentleman, Dan, give me your hand. Yeah? We slaughter some sheep. We are now in old times, yeah? And we agree to blah, 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 and I don't know what. Yeah? On $1 million diamond agreement. Yeah? My friends, this is the covenant. And it is stamped by the blood. Still in some ethnic, cultures, you know what they do? They cut themselves and they mix the blood together. This is the covenant. Later on, our lawyers will write 13 books. Lawyers are good in it, right? You never understand what they say anyway. My beloved, but the covenant is not the books. The covenant is the agreement. Are you with me? So the terminology that you use, let's read, let's open.